Just about every kid is embarrassed by their parents at some point in their lives. But for children whose parents are behind bars, the level of stigma and shame can be hard to manage.
And there are more children in that position than you might think in Arizona. More than 200,000 children here have at least one parent who's behind bars. Nationally, that number is around 7% of all children under the age of 18. And those kids are the focus of a first-of-its-kind conference taking place at ASU's Center for Child Well-Being this week. The show's Lauren Gilger is here with more on this. Hey, Lauren.
Hey. So there are lots of issues, as you can imagine, that arise for kids and families when a parent is locked up, not to mention the broader societal effects. So I sat down with two people who have some experience in this area. Judy Krysik is the director of the Center for Child Well-Being at ASU, and Alexandria Petch grew up with a father who was serving time. Now she is a PhD student at the University of Arizona who studies the impacts of incarcerated parents on adolescents, and she works with the Children of Incarcerated Parents program in Tucson. We started by talking about her story and the impact that her father's sentence has had on her.
My father was incarcerated for 21 years, so up until the time my mom was pregnant with me, until I was 21 years old. He came home when I was 21, and he recidivated because the recidivism rate is high, about 2 years into that, and was incarcerated again for 3 years. I'm 26 now, and he just came home last week.
Last week. So talk a little bit about the impact on your life, on your family. Are there things that are explainable to people?
Yeah, so even taking it away from me for a second financially, my grandmother, my grandfather, my father's parents supported him by making sure he had money for commissary and so that he could buy his food or shoes, and even to visit cost a lot of money. And so financially, it was a burden on my grandparents to support my father while in prison. Mm-hmm. For me, there was just a lot of stigma and shame growing up, because one of the first things we learn as kids is this good guy, bad guy concept.
Yeah.
So I, at a young age, would often ask myself, well, am I bad? My father is in prison, so am I guilty by association and I'm a bad person? And so there were a lot of spaces where I couldn't talk about it, and so I just felt like I had this secret that instilled a lot of shame within me.
And now you study these issues, right? And you work with the Children of Incarcerated Parents program. Was there a moment in your life when you were able to shift, when you were able to say, I'm not at fault, and why, and turn that work into something important?
It honestly was when I was an undergraduate, because there was a class where the sociology teacher had a panel of formerly incarcerated men. And in a lecture hall of 200, I stood up at the end and raised my hand and said, hey, I also have a father in prison. I have some questions about that. Hmm. And from then, it just snowballed where I understood now I could ask questions about not only my situation, but other people's situation. And it was also formal, like, mentoring programs, like the Ronald E. McNair Scholars Program, where as an undergrad, I could do a research project. And I said, I'm going to ask questions about children who have incarcerated parents. Like, what are the risk and protective factors for children impacted by parental incarceration? And so I had thoughts about, well, it's important for children to have family support. It's important for children to think highly of themselves, because there is so much stigma, and you really have to look beyond what the messages you're receiving from society and still value yourself and still love yourself, because you're not a bad person because of where your parent is.
Yeah. And Judy, I know one of the things you're going to talk about at this conference this week is the effect on the broader society. What sort of, like, civic costs are there? You mentioned the cost to the family, Alexandria, but Judy, tell us a little bit about the broader results of this.
So there's so many organizations, agencies affected by this. So the education system, if we look at that from the very early childcare to early education right through high school, the children are having issues in the classrooms. And oftentimes that's not recognized or associated with the issue of having an incarcerated parent. Mm-hmm. And so that is difficult for the teachers to manage. It's difficult for the caretakers to manage. The caretakers are often asking teachers to help them in a way that teachers aren't prepared. And so that's just one system. There's the whole law enforcement system. There's the whole criminal justice system, the healthcare system, because a lot of children from the trauma that they have grown up with related to incarceration and the stigma and the silence around it also have long-term health issues and behavioral issues as well. So all of these circumstances add up to have a huge cost on society.
So let's talk about some of the solutions. Are there examples? Are there programs, approaches, models in place that have been successful?
There are many examples. There are very innovative visitation programs. So visitation can look very different and can also be very traumatizing for the child and the family. Mm-hmm. And so we know a lot about best approaches to visitation.
Let's talk about visitation a little bit. Do you remember that, Alexandra, visiting your father in prison?
Oh, yes. I visited my father from the age of 5 up until high school. I was across 5 or 6 different prisons in California. Yeah. Visitation as a young child, it was exciting because it would be a trip with me and my grandma, and we'd have a purpose to go and spend quality time with my father. When I got older, there was a lot of ways that the prison imposed rules, arbitrary rules, that was really dehumanizing, like making us wait outside the prison in Central California at 8 a.m. is 90, 95 degrees. It's hot, and we have to wait in line for almost an hour to get called in one by one. Mm. Why couldn't we wait inside? Or, you know, having to go from one cage and they close the gate and then they open the other gate to another, it makes you feel like a caged animal. You're really just trying to see your parent and spend time with your parent, but there are these protocols in place that they impose on families that just make it such a cold place. You almost feel like, wow, I kind of feel like a prisoner too.
Does your dad know what you're doing now, and is he proud of this work that you've sort of taken this experience and been able to turn it into something so positive?
Oh, yes. It's been now 5 years that I've been going to conferences and writing papers and really involved in this research. And so him and all of my family they're proud. But I think they're a little shocked that I am so open to tell my story. But I believe stories are transformative, and we cannot keep living in silence. We have to speak up. And so my family, I think, is, for the first part of it, was grappling with me just being so outspoken. But my time has come. I'm ready to speak up.
So this is the first of its kind, this conference. What do you want to come out of this, and where do you want to take it next?
We plan to do this every year. There's a lot of work being done, but it's not necessarily being shared. And so it's a space where people can share that work. We're going to collaborate in between research and writing to create an even bigger awareness. And that's what we need. We can't have this many children and families affected and have this issue so silent.
Yeah. And I'm hoping to build a community. We need to come out of the shadows so that, you know, it's a community of love and worth, and no one can convince us otherwise.
All right. Judy Krysak, Alexandria Petch, thank you so much for being here, both of you.
Thank you.
Judy Krysak is an associate professor in the School of Social Work, and she's the director of the Center for Child Well-Being at Arizona State University. And Alexandria Petch is a fourth-year PhD student at the University of Arizona who works with the children of incarcerated parents and grew up with a father who also was incarcerated.